Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Accelerate Your Business Growth,
where we're exploring all sorts of business topics. Experts from around the world join me, your host, Diane Helbig, for a conversation where they share their expertise with all of you. Take what you need when you need it. Featured on Inc.com, Forbes, and MSNBC's Your Business, this podcast is recognized as one of the best podcasts for small business, sales, leadership, social media, and more. When it comes to business, Accelerate Your Business Growth has got it covered. And now on with the show. My guest today is Dave Pennington. Dave spent the last 35 plus years managing and leading organizations. He served on national and international boards, and has built strong teams, developed his personal leadership, managed financials, and developed and sustained visionary leadership. Thanks so much for being here today, Dave.
It's good to be with you. I'm delighted to be your guest today.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you here. We're going to be talking about strategic scaling, which I think is important for all small business owners. I'm curious what you think the key indicators are that a small business is actually ready to scale strategically.
Well, obviously, there's a lot of factors. I mean, financials are always one of them in terms of, you know, just having the resources. But often, really, I think one of the key indicators is when the owner or leader is just sort of overextended. I call it kind of capped out, in the sense that he can't add anything else to his platter. I mean, or she's completely just full, and, you know, there's more to do than the person who's leading it can do. And then often the people that they have supporting them are not necessarily really able to grow and develop along with the company. They're more kind of helpers, but they're not really, I'll call them like VPs or lieutenants that can help really move the company ahead.
Okay, so I'm trying to figure out, like, does a business owner know that this is happening, or are there?
Not always, unfortunately. Okay. Yeah. I often think I work a lot with a lot of small to mid-sized business owners, and when I really often, when I begin with them, one of the things I do is, if they don't have an org chart, I actually ask them to put together an org chart, and then to put their name everywhere where they're actually functioning within the business. And literally, I've had them come back to me and say, all right, now I know why I'm exhausted all the time. No, I never realized all that I'm doing.
Right.
So right. Sometimes they're not aware, but they do know this. They're pretty well slammed. And what I mean by that is, I can't add any more to my plate.
Yeah.
And really what they've become is the ceiling to the organization. In a sense, it can't grow any bigger, larger than what they can handle, and they can't handle any more than what they're currently doing.
Right, right. And you mentioned before about the people, and that they're not necessarily in strategic positions, you know, positions of necessarily leadership. So I'm figuring that part of strategic scaling is figuring out what you need, and then, if you actually have people who could fit into those roles, and if not, where to get them?
Yeah. Interestingly, what I do is, I always start with a leader, because in a small to mid-sized business, most leaders are what I call player coaches.
Yeah.
So think of it like a baseball team. The leader is the starting shortstop on the team, and he or she is the coach simultaneously. Okay, so they play a major role within the company, plus they're leading and directing the company at the same time, which is doable. You can do that, but it's really challenging to do that. So what I try to do is start with the owner or the leader and get that person, I'll say, aligned to get the highest ROI for his investment of time, energy, effort. I'll give you an example. I had a friend who owned a small computer service company, half dozen employees or so. When I first started talking to him, I said, you know, tell me a little bit about what you're doing. And, you know, you kind of have business development or sales and you have operations. Which one are you? He says, oh, I'm sales. Without any question, I'm sales. So I said, well, tell me about it. He went on to say, you know, I'm not trying to brag, but when I get before people, I close like 80% of everybody I talk to. And I said, wow, I'm impressed. 80% close ratio. That's pretty good. I said, what about the operational side? He said, nah, not my thing. I hate it. I'm terrible at it. I said, all right, be honest with me right now. In your company, what amount of time, energy, and focus are you putting towards sales versus operational? I expected him to tell me almost all sales. What he told me, he was 85% operational and 15% sales.
Oh.
And I said, wow. I said, you know, you kill it in sales. I mean, you're just really good. 80% close ratio. That's great. And you hate operations and you're doing 85% operations. And I just paused and I said, how's that working for you? Literally his head dropped and he said, it's not right now. I hate my life. Every day is stress. And I'm gonna, so I said, well, what would happen if we could find you someone who could help, you know, lead or direct the operational part of your company. You'll still probably have to do 20% of it because you're the owner, but get that person to do 80%. And then we got you back over into sales. And so you were like 80-20, 80 in sales, 20 in operations. I said, what would that do for your company? He paused and he literally kind of lit up like a Christmas tree. He said, you know, if I did that, he said, I'd double my company in 18 months.
Wow.
So long story made short, found the operational guy, got him back into sales. He got into some government contracts and his company just took off. And, you know, that is common.
Yeah.
Because what's happening is because you start a company, you know, you do this and you do this, you add this hat and this hat and this hat and this hat. And pretty soon you have 10, 12, 15 hats you're wearing. And you're only good at two or three of them.
Right.
But you're doing all of these things that are bogging you down and limiting your ability to scale and grow. And then once we get the owner or leader properly aligned, and I call it his zone of genius, you know, what he really does well, what he loves doing.
Sure.
Okay. Then we look for what I call complementary dream team members. And I usually say it this way, believe it or not, there are actually people that love doing what you hate doing. And they're really good at it. And we need to find those people. And obviously the first place, as you've already alluded to, is to look for them within the company first. If you have people within, then that's where you want to start and kind of promote them into a management role. If you don't, then you need to go out and find them. And really the owner needs to offload the majority of what he's not good at, doesn't like doing, and just is exhausting him and limiting the growth of the company.
So, thank you for that. It's so funny. You were telling the story about that guy. And I was thinking about someone I was talking to who said, I'm not anywhere in the actual running of the business anymore. I've gotten myself out. And then about 15 minutes later, started talking about how they're always on the phone with employees calling them with an issue, one type of issue or another. And I thought to myself, well, hang on a second. You know, this person doesn't even realize how much they're in the business. They think they're out of it. They think they've removed themselves, but they're not.
You'd love this. I call that position, I always say to them, oh, so you're the fireman.
Yeah.
And they say, what do you mean by that? Well, you're just putting out fires all day long.
Yep.
I said, you know, really what you need to do is develop a kind of a VP level of management that have various divisions or silos of your company. One might be sales, one might be marketing, whatever. But the idea is those people are the ones who are running that department. And the employees are not coming to the owner, they're coming to the person who's managing that department. And then here's what happens. The owner's role shifts from doing to developing.
Mm.
Now his role really becomes developing those VPs, helping them grow and learn how to do their jobs better. and become more efficient and proficient and more productive. And so he's developing his staff, if you would, who's managing the day-to-day. He's not doing so much as he is in the developing mode. And that's a game changer once you get to that level.
Right. Yeah. All right. So how then can a small business owner attract that top talent?
Well, I think a lot of it is having clarity about, you know, who you are, where you're going, you know, great clear vision. Is a big key. People, even people that maybe they're constantly looking. The right kind of people are looking for a new opportunity where they can come into a company, really carry a substantial load, and make a difference. And there's opportunity for growth and development for them. You know, it's not just about money. You know, everybody wants to make money. We get that.
Sure.
But it's really about, I'll call it, fulfillment. You know, the right kind of leader really wants to make an impact and make a difference within a company. Yeah, they want opportunities for financial advancement and growth and that kind of thing. But it's kind of a win-win where you have an opportunity that is attractive to someone who really wants to step into that space and make a difference. And when you begin to do that, what happens, things kind of align because they just can envision themselves, you know, I could go into that company and really make a difference because of my skill set, my ability. It just kind of fits who I am. It's what I love doing.
Okay. That makes total sense to me. So those people are out there and, we've got, a leader who's figured out that they need these people. One of the things that I find is a challenge for small business owners is the onboarding process where they, you know, they just welcome them in and sit them down. They fill out all the paperwork and then they're just expected to go.
The way I would word it is what onboarding process?
Yeah. Okay.
They don't have one.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So what do they do?
Well, let me back up. There are four areas that I primarily focus on with business owners. First of all, hiring. And we've kind of talked too of, you know, a little bit, how do you get to know the person you need to hire? But once you begin to get there, you really need a good, clear job description that, it's not just a laundry list of a bunch of tasks that you want people to do, but it's skill set. It even gets into company culture. You know, you really want to get good alignment from the person that you hire. Not only can they do the job, but they have a good work ethic. They would fit within the culture. And I find a lot of people hire from their gut.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of find someone they like. That they align with a little bit personally. And then usually they shape the job to fit the person rather than finding the person to fit the job.
I so agree with you on that.
Okay. So hiring right. And, you know, if you've done any hiring, you know, this, I always say, if you hire right, you solve 90% of your problems. If you hire incorrectly, you actually create 90% of your problems. Okay. Then secondly, is what you're talking about is onboarding. Here's what happens in most companies, and frankly, even corporations. They come in, they have a job description, they kind of know general responsibilities that they have, but really they don't know what they need to do in that job to be successful.
Yeah.
What are the 3 to 5 usually key KPIs or major objectives that I need to do well if I'm going to be successful in this job? I'll give you an example. I have a client that she's in the educational space. And she kind of has a dual role. I work with her in one area and then she has another role. And I asked her one day, I said, this other role you have, I said, you know, what exactly you do there? And she began to tell me, and I said, well, I said, sounds like a lot of stuff. I said, what do you really need to do? What are the, if you could narrow it down to 3 to 5 things you need to do each year to be successful in that role, what would they be? And she said, honestly, I don't know.
Wow.
And I said, well, have you talked to your boss, you know, the lady that you report to? She said, I have, and she doesn't know either.
Ooh.
I said, all right, let's do this. And this was just a gesture on my part. I said, let's come up with those 3 to 5 objectives. And then I want you to come up with 3 to 5 sub points under each objective so that you have kind of a clear target of what you need to do to be successful in that role. So she worked on it and got it done, and we kind of refined it a little bit. I said, now I want you to take it to your boss and see what your boss thinks. Her boss loved it. In fact, she says, this is wonderful. I, you know, this is so good, you know. So now what happens is, rather than just doing all the many things that come along with that role, she actually has major objectives she's focusing on that help her be successful. Now, here's where I'm going with onboarding. I think an owner needs to make sure the new employee knows those objectives right up front.
Yeah.
Because if not, it's going to take 3 months, 6 months. I've even seen it 12, 18 months for that person to figure it all out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he or she doesn't know all the intricacies of the company. So onboarding, I think, is super key. Think of it like rolling out the red carpet when someone comes on your team. You're demonstrating value to that person, the importance of that role. You're giving clarity. It allows that person to hit the ground running right from the get-go.
Yeah, it's setting them up for success, right?
Which then leads to my third component that I work with companies on, which is developing people. What I find most people, when they hire someone, they sort of expect the employee to develop himself.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not saying that doesn't happen, but it's pretty rare. What an owner needs to do is lean in and really get to know that person, know what she likes, what she doesn't like, know what she's good at, what she's not so good at. Sometimes we hire someone for one role, and as we get to know them, we actually find out they would actually function better in a different role that we never even saw that at the beginning.
Right.
But it's because we don't know the people. We don't know what their desires are. We don't know what their capacity is, their natural inclinations. There's just a lot we don't know. And it needs to be kind of a win-win. What I mean by that is you want to help that person develop and become the best he or she can be and contribute at the highest level in the company so the employee wins and the company wins. So often it's all about the company. You know, the company wins and benefits, but the employee, not so important. No, it really is important.
Yeah.
And when you really invest in your people and develop them, it gives them wind in their sails to be able to achieve at their highest potential that they probably would never do without you supporting them, getting them the training, whatever's needed so that they can be the best person they can be.
Do you consider that a good retention strategy?
Well, that's my next point. My last, I'll call it vertical that I work with, is retention. Most owners, they think it's all about money. You know, yeah. I just can't afford to pay enough. So people are leaving me all the time. It's usually not money. Okay. It's the people don't feel valued or appreciated.
Right.
Okay. There's no way for them to feel valued or appreciated. You don't have processes and systems to speak into their lives. Often it's because they don't feel like there's potential to grow. They're kind of capped out. You know, really good people want to grow and develop. If they don't see room or space for them to grow and develop, they're going to go somewhere else. The people that are kind of mediocre, they're not as driven anyway. And typically once they reach a certain comfortable level, they're happy to stay there. But then you wind up with a mediocre team, which is not what you really want. And then the last reason why people leave usually is poor management.
Yeah.
They just feel like, you know, I can't, working for this guy just is, he has no vision. You know, he's all about, you know, he doesn't seem to care for me at all. The list goes on. Just, you know, it's like you have no motivation to want to work for that person because there's no chemistry. It's not reciprocal. It's a one-way street and it's going his way. And I don't get anything out of this.
Yeah.
So I think you have to work at retaining people.
Yeah.
You get people, you want to value them, appreciate them, give them opportunities of growth, tap into their vision of what they want for their lives. It's not always the same. Some people want money, but not everybody wants money.
Right.
You know, so as you understand them, you're actually helping them grow as a person. And I always say it this way, look, you will lose good people because there are opportunities that come along to them. But when you lose them the right way, it's like they come to you and say, you know, I knew this day would probably come. I hate it that it's finally come. I have so enjoyed being here. You have invested in me. You have developed me. I wouldn't be where I am today if it were not for you. I am just so thankful for all the things you've done through the years and how you've helped me. And I hate to leave, but I have this opportunity that I just can't pass up. Yeah. You know what? I don't mind losing someone like that.
Right.
Because here's what I found. Usually they will send me people, maybe multiple people that can replace them because they so appreciate how I have invested in them.
Yeah. And they send good people.
Very good people because they care about you.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay. I have a two-part question, and it's about the pitfalls, or you can call them challenges, that small businesses face when they are implementing strategic scaling. So the first part of the question is, what are some of those common challenges? And the second part of the question is, and then how can they overcome those obstacles?
Well, I think, you know, common challenges are quite often one of the things this is kind of a concept that I think is important for your audience to grasp. Often we feel like what we need to do is we need to grow so that we can scale.
Yes.
In reality, we need to structure so that we can grow. And what I mean by that is, I like to begin with the end in mind. So you have a company. When I meet with someone, I, you know, learn about them, what their vision is, what their passion is, where they want to see their company go to. You know, often, are they going to sell it? Are they going to pass it on to their kids? You know, kind of knowing where you're going to be when you get to the end is important because it actually determines how you design your company and how you grow your company. Because if you're going to grow it to sell it, you're probably going to grow it one way. If you're going to grow it to pass on to your kids, you're probably going to have to grow it a little differently. So just really having clarity about where you want to go. So once you can envision that, then we kind of reverse engineer back to where you are now. And we begin to put in steps. Okay, what's the structure I need to get from where I am to where I want to be? And then you can kind of put a linear path together. Okay, as I think about it, is where I'm going, the very first person I need to hire really should be this person. And once again, it's often based upon my ability as an owner. If I'm, let's say I'm the sales guy, okay, I'm probably not going to hire a sales manager first because I'm not going to be happy with him because he's not going to be as good as I am because I'm really good.
Yeah.
You know, I'm probably going to hire an operational guy. Or it can be the opposite. I'm an operational guy. I'm really good at operations. I'm probably not going to hire an operation guy. I'm going to hire someone in sales or marketing because that's not really, I can do it, but it's not really my strength.
Right.
So really getting clarity about where you are, ultimately where you want to go to, and what are the, how do you line up, how do you structure things step by step to get to where you eventually want to be? Because otherwise, you kind of go, most people make decisions based upon workload or exhaustion. You know, I'm just so busy, I can't get it all done, so I need to hire someone in this area. Well, maybe you do, maybe you don't.
Right.
You know, it's really more learning about you, thinking about where you want your company to go one day, and who are the key people in your organization that are going to be able to carry the load and develop that company and build it to the scope and size that you want it to be.
Right. It's not just shooting from the hip. It really is about being strategic with the decisions that you make.
Right. Because otherwise it's like, oh, I'm so busy, I can't get it all done, so I'm going to hire someone to do this. Well, that may not be the person you need to hire.
Right.
You know, you need to hire strategically. And I think that's kind of one of the keys in all of this. And then, you know, you have to take it at a pace that you can handle. But if if you get the right people, the income, you know, gets replaced pretty quickly, you know, and then there's, okay, who's next? And then you find that person. All right, who's next? And you can even build it out where you even have a calendar planned or a time-oriented plan. You may or may not reach your time designations that you want, but at least you've got some plan. I don't think most people plan their growth. I think most people kind of merge into their growth. Just whatever's facing me today, I got to deal with, and then whatever's facing me tomorrow, I'll deal with that when it comes.
Right, for sure. Right. And so for companies like with limited resources, what sorts of, I'll call them cost-effective initiatives, can they implement so that they are fostering that employee engagement and satisfaction? Because I find a lot of small business owners will say, well, I'd love to, and not, I'm not even talking about giving people raises, but they'll say, you know, I'd love to show appreciation, recognition, but we, you know, we just don't have the budget.
Yeah, sometimes it's not, once again, it's not always about money. For example, let's say that you have a single mom that works for you. Okay, now she needs money, right?
Yeah.
But what's really more important to her than money?
Spending time with her kids.
Yeah. Okay. So sometimes, you know, there are things that you can structure or provide as a company. And it does, it can be tied to like a bonus or, you know, it doesn't have to be a benefit. Sometimes, you know, we're always worried about equality and, you know, making sure everybody's treated equally. I understand that. But, you know, sometimes it can be a bonus based upon reaching certain goals. You know, you're going to get some extra time off, paid time off or whatever. And the idea is rather than you making it, I'll call it top-down decisions, I'll call it business-oriented decisions as a manager. Uh-huh. You need to make those decisions and things based upon who are your personnel. What are their goals?
Yeah.
What's their aspiration? You know, what do they long for? For example, I have some VAs, and a couple of my VAs are actually overseas, and I know one of my VAs has a car she's paying on. And one of the things I've talked about with her, I say, you know, when we reach these certain levels, these certain goals, I'm going to bonus you, but I really want to help you get your car paid off. So rather than it just going, because, you know, I'd ask her, what do you want? What are you after? One of the things is I'd love to get my car paid off. So it wasn't me coming up with the idea. Sure. She had shared the idea with me. Okay. Yeah. So what I'd love to do is I'll just pay directly toward getting your car paid down quickly. Okay. Now that's what she wants.
Yeah.
Right. Someone else might want something else.
Yeah.
Another thing is maybe that she wants to buy a home. So how about we set aside money based upon, you know, success we're having, and we'll put down, help you get together a down payment so you can actually buy a home. Now think about that from the standpoint of the employee.
Right.
It's like, you care about me. You're interested in helping me.
Yeah.
And that builds a loyalty to you and a sense of commitment to you and doing a good job, because it's not just about the company.
Right.
It's actually about me as an employee.
Right. And that ultimately works in the best interest of the company.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it helps with retention. It helps with, you know, engagement. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. I was thinking about when I was in sales and I had two small kids, and the reward for hitting a certain milestone, I don't remember what it was a trip to,
I was gonna say,
like California.
Yeah, going on a trip.
Yeah, no thanks, right? Because it was gonna cost me more money to figure out what I was doing with my kids.
Yep.
Right? So for me, it would have been just, you know, give me the money or time off or whatever it is.
Yeah. Once again, often management doesn't think about the employees.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not the same for everyone.
No. But you get the most out of people when you are paying attention to what their goals are.
And really, why do you get the most out of it? It's because you're actually demonstrating empathy and concern for them.
Yeah.
And they know, I mean, you know, we've all worked for people that I know he doesn't care about me at all. All he cares about is what I can produce.
Right.
Which is not very motivating. Sometimes, frankly, it's kind of aggravating. It's like, you know, dude, if you just kind of had a little bit of care here, I probably would work a little bit harder. But because you're constantly, you know, driving me, it's like, you're not motivating me. You're actually demotivating me.
Yeah, isn't that ironic? Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah. Boy, Dave, this is really valuable. I love this perspective. it just makes so much sense to me. And I think it's so valuable for the listeners. Thank you for spending this time with us. Will you tell the listeners how they can find you?
Sure. Probably the easiest way is my website. It's just pennncoaching.com. So pennncoaching.com. If they want to reach out to me personally, dave@pennncoaching.com. So pretty easy to get access to me. And I love to connect with people. I really love to develop leaders, and I love to develop people. I think you can sense from what I talk, you think about it. As an owner, you have your money, that's valuable to you. You have your time, that's valuable to you. But you know what's just as valuable as those two? Is your personnel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes even more valuable, because if you have the right personnel, you can get more money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, we don't value people enough in our culture.
Yeah.
If we did, it would make just a world of difference in most companies.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm totally with you. I absolutely, and I am just thrilled that we were able to have this conversation and share this information with the listeners. So again, thank you so much. And listeners, thank you. You are who we're doing this for.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, a production of Evergreen Podcasts. Discover more episodes of this podcast and explore others at evergreenpodcast.com. As always, continue to prosper and be curious. And if you're looking to get your sales strategy headed in the right direction, pick up a copy of Succeed Without Selling on Amazon or wherever books are sold. Until we meet again on another episode of Accelerate Your Business Growth, goodbye and good day.
Do you love news about LinkedIn, Indeed, Google, and just about every other recruitment tech company out there?
Hell yeah. I'm Chad.
I'm Cheese.
We're the Chad and Cheese Podcast.
All the latest recruiting news and insights are on our show.
Dripping in snark and attitude.
Subscribe today wherever you listen to your podcasts.
We out.